The Dave McGillivray Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGillivrayFoundation.org for more information.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
No Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Up next. Hey, Charles.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Okay.
Charles Allen here. Bestman, let me defend the man, but first, here's a tip. Never lend your bike to a bar. Hopalong Riley, the governor, up in Alaska, AD, the University of Alabama, all had bike problems. They all were Bob. It's B-O-B-O-B, Bob on bivouac on a bike. It was March 25, 2012, and Bob Sykadent concluded April Fool's Day with a cracked vertebrae. But suddenly came a big buck from out of the deep, a six-pointer, and that's my tweet. That's my climb. Hey, Charles Allen here.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, 617-779-0985. We're in the Town Fair Tire Studios, and that is Charles Allen Head.
Bill.
A man who made no sense. People have, again, tried to decipher what he's saying, and to that I would say, why? It doesn't make it. Bob on bivouac.
Bob on bivouac on a bike.
And then the governor. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense.
I just imagine him like standing in front of some sort of state building with his thumbs underneath his armpits, like making a speech in front of at the state fair or something. Like, Bob on bivouac on a bike. I declare today Bob on bivouac on a bike day.
I just see him cooking with bacon grease. Like my grandfather did. He had a big jar of bacon grease.
Did you know what we used to have? Did you guys ever have a Fry Daddy growing up?
No.
Okay, all right. Well, the Fry Daddy was like the ultimate like white trash accessory for all right? things. But yeah, it was this thing that was basically a black pot that you plugged in and kept it on your stove, but you still plugged it in, which was weird. I don't know how that worked, but it would just stay there, and you would just keep collected grease floating in it. Like a half gallon of collected grease just simmering in this black pot, and it would stay there. Like, you wouldn't clean it out. You wouldn't put new grease in. It would just sit for, I mean, we might have had it there for a couple of months, just sitting there with grease. And, like, we would fry everything. Like, you just use your Fry Daddy over and over and over again. But I talked to somebody, and I thought it was just our family that just kept the grease in and just reused the grease. But I guess everyone did that who had a Fry Daddy. You didn't put new grease in. You just recycled the old grease.
For how long?
I mean, we might have had it in there for months. I mean, it might have been months at a time before we would actually clean it out and put anything else in.
My grandfather never cleaned the grease.
Okay, so he had a pot that you just kept the grease in.
It was coffee cans that he would fry bacon. He ate bacon every day, and he would just pour it into the coffee cans. And everything that he made, he used bacon grease to make it.
Okay, so he would scrape it out and put it back in the pan?
He would pour it in.
Okay, all right.
Like, he would pour it into the coffee can.
None of you guys had the Fry Daddy?
No, I've seen it on TV.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, it was huge. It was like, I mean, Right. It was one of those things that it was like, if you order it right now over the phone, you know, you can have it. It was like $24.99 at Target, I'm sure.
Yeah, they had. I remember the Fry Daddy from TV, but yeah. we never bought it. There was never a tremendous amount of frying at my house.
We fried everything for
I'm
a
not
while.
Positive my mom knew how to fry anything.
I think with the Fry Daddy, it was made easy.
Yeah, well, you know.
I think you just tossed it in that unwashed grease that just stayed there, the sedentary grease. And sure enough, after several minutes, whatever you had, it would be nice and golden brown and ready to eat and cooled on paper towels.
Yeah, my parents are in town, and this is just not the time to have this weather.
Oh, because you got to stay inside because you can't get out. I mean, it is misery. Yeah. It looks kind of spooky, like over the last like couple of days. And last night was awful. I mean, if you were out and about, that sucked.
Well, Friday is supposed to be... Now, were you in Nantucket last weekend?
I was. Yeah, this past weekend, yeah.
Okay, so this Friday, today, fingers crossed, it's supposed to get a little bit nicer at 5.
Today?
Yes, because I have to get out of the house. I have to find a way to get out of the house. With my parents. My parents are leaving tomorrow to go somewhere, and then they're coming back, and then they're going to Nantucket.
Okay.
But I need them. I need them. I need a way out of the house. I need the children out of the house. I need to the JCC pool. It's not earning its keep this year.
Have you done all of the movies that you can possibly do? Have you done all the inside activities? Have you run out of stuff?
I'm not going to take them to the movies. Like I took them to the movies on Saturday. I'm not going to sit there and entertain them. They need to learn how to entertain themselves. Now I'll take them to the pool. They're at a camp until 4:30. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and juggle for them when they get home. But I need them out of the house. I need to leave. It's the end of August. Stupid football's coming up,
mm-hmm.
which everyone's so excited for. Everyone gets so excited for football season.
Yeah. Yeah.
As if we don't live in Boston. Oh, to live somewhere with a better climate. People get so excited to live in Boston. Not to live in Boston. They get so excited for football. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, fine. Sundays are neat. You get to watch a football game. But then what about everything else in your life? It all turns to crap.
Yeah.
You get seasonal depression. Everyone does. The weather is atrocious. And summer's over. Summer that, by the way, this year lasts 2 months.
Yeah, I don't get pissed off or depressed until January.
This is a harbinger of January.
Well, yeah, but you've got fall, which is fun. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that happens in fall. You got Christmas time. I know you love Christmas.
Yeah,
I have no problem with that.
But there's nothing, the fall, it gets cold. I mean, this is... We only get 2 months of summer.
Well, that is true.
And then this is a harbinger of it being over. And people are delighted about it. And ESPN goes like, only, 14 more days till college football. Well, that's like a countdown to death. That's like a countdown. That would be like your countdown to your own mortality.
I found myself watching a, hour-long fantasy football show yesterday. Well, that's just because
ESPN had like 29 consecutive hours on fantasy.
I think
football.
That's what they're doing. So yeah. Last night there was, there was no baseball game. I mean, there was the Yankees Mets, but I'm not going to sit and watch that. So I was just flipping around and I'm like, I just kept the TV on an ESPN, that thing that they were doing. And about 45 minutes into being on in the background, I turned, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why is this on? And I think it's just because now people are desperate. Now that football, something new is coming, and you're right. It's easy to go, hey, football, but instead, you're at the same time you're going F summer, which of course I don't think anybody really wants to feel right now.
Brendan, go ahead.
Hey, a couple beers, no beers, guys.
Hey, Jay.
What time? At what point did you guys start going to Nantucket, Richard? You went to Nantucket. When did you start doing that?
I went for the first time about five years ago. It was the first time that Mary couldn't leave, we couldn't fly anywhere because she was sick. So we tried to find a place around here. It was actually Zolak who suggested I go to Nantucket, and it was about four years ago, I think. And I've loved it ever since, unapologetically. I'm a huge fan of that place. I love it.
Oh, I'm just saying. So Nantucket's your place now. This is 98.5, the sports hub. Summer home is Nantucket. You guys need a studio there.
Have you been there? I like that place.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. But I'm from here. I'm from here, and I've always gone there. I just How did you end up getting to Nantucket?
I just told you. I literally just told you.
You're from out of town, so you're not allowed, apparently.
So I'm not allowed to go there. Yeah, it's like, it's a beautiful place. I love it.
I'm from here. I've never been to Nantucket, so I guess I'm the oddball in the group.
I've never been to Nantucket since I've lived here. I went when I was before I lived here. One time, my parents are going there.
Yeah, yeah, been to the Vineyard many times. Never
Nantucket. I've been to the Vineyard many times, too.
You know, I've only been to the Vineyard, like, I think twice I have. And I liked it. It was nice. It was good. There's the one area that is like the, it's almost like Panama City. Is it Oak Bluffs? It's got the
yes, it is Oak Bluffs.
The Ryan Family Amusements, the T-shirt shops.
Yeah, go for the brass ring. They still have the carousel there.
right.
It's been a while since I've been.
There's like Jaws posters everywhere. Yeah. It's like, yes, I get it.
It's Oak Bluffs.
It was filmed here.
So if you were to move from Massachusetts, mm-hmm. would you keep your house in Nantucket?
It depends on how far away. It depends on how far away we were.
Okay.
I mean, it depends.
What if you wouldn't end up upside down on the thing, would you?
No. Okay. No. That's the one thing about that place is that you can't build anything there. There's like conservation land. So if you were to get something there, it sells for better than what you bought it for almost instantly.
Well, there you have it. Nantucket is the place to be. I need to get out today. I desperately need to get out tonight.
At least it's warm. It could be.
It wasn't warm yesterday.
I'm just saying it could be like this in 40. That's a couple of months from now.
Yeah. But hey, there's football.
Yep.
Hey, go mm-hmm. Pats.
The football part I'm actually looking forward to. It makes our show fun. I like that. I like that there's stuff to do and there's stuff to talk about.
I'm in no hurry to get there.
No hurry to get there at all.
I'm not in a hurry to get out done with summer.
There were 100 days. Adam Schefter would every year it's a tweet. 100 days till the opening. 100 days till kickoff. I'm like, fine.
And he's talking to the majority of people that have hellish winters. You know, it's not like people in California are like, oh, sweet. 100 days till football.
Best time of year is when we get to right around the 1st of May, because it's all in front of you, man. It's all in front of you.
No, it's the 1st of June.
No.
May can suck. No. May sucked this year. May was awful this year.
And then July and August have been the hottest July and August in decades this year.
You always crap on me when I say April's the worst month to live in Massachusetts.
No, because it's not.
It is. It's not. Because everyone in the whole rest of the country has gorgeous weather, and we're sitting here and it's freezing.
You know what? The worst months to live here are January and February. Easily.
No, because January is the beginning of it. By April, it's 4 months in and you want to die.
January, I'm sorry. Well, once we get to snowstorm number 4 on February 6th, I want to die.
Light in April. At least there's a little bit of light.
Yeah, the sun goes down at 4:15. You don't get any light until about 7:30. No, January and February, the two worst months to be here, easily.
Yeah. All right, Rich. What do we got coming up in last night?
Oh, so much. However, Jerry Jones has to answer for him not taking his hat off during the national anthem after being Captain America. On top of that, we got some pretty damn good news regarding the Celtics and the health of Gordon Hayward. We will get to that right after, we got a CBS Sports Minute or something?
I can throw to that. Where is my trash can? I can't have a trash can anymore.
Let's do something crazy.
Wake up with Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, that's dumb.
Just tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
Oh, guess who's angry? That would be the Golden Prince, Tom Brady. Pissed off yesterday at a practice that he was not liking the results of his 16 of 29 performance and 11 on 11s. It was a down day overall for everyone. Now, granted, it was rainy and there was a lot of fog and the weather was all around gross.
The incompletions. They couldn't see the passes coming to them.
That could never happen in a real game.
It never snows. It never rains in the NFL.
Fog is the problem. If the receivers had trouble.
Well, I mean, incompletions where you get an incompletion. Everyone was dropping balls. Eric Decker apparently had a handful of them. He had an all-time bad day as far as being a Patriot is concerned. Even Gronkowski.
Chris Hogan, Lucien, they all had drops. So that was a consistent issue for the whole offense. As a matter of fact, at one point, Brady got so mad that he asked for the game ball, took it, and punted it into the stands.
Now, I
heard Zolak say something kind of interesting yesterday, and he was not trying to be funny or play on, like, you know, like stuff that's happened in the past, but he said that he believes that one of the reasons that Brady might have done that was because the ball was overinflated, and he didn't want to use that ball again. And he said he's not joking about Deflategate. He thinks that he just didn't like that ball, was so pissed off at it, and he said, get rid of it, and kicked it into the stands so he didn't have to practice with it again. And I guess he went back out and, like, started playing with the other team, like the crap players, in order to try to get himself back up to speed. But Eric Decker is somebody who is not very happy with how things went yesterday.
This is a complex offense. There's a lot asked upon you as, you know, a skilled player, just as, you know, a football player in general. So getting in the playbook, just rehearsing it, getting on the field, being able to get reps of walkthrough and then live action, you know, it helps, again, slow things down and kind of take that thinking out of it and just play ball again.
Is he making the team?
He's no different than any other. We talked about this before. He's no different than any other wide receiver, veteran or otherwise, that comes into this offense late. You struggle. You see it happen all the time. And I think right now, just by attrition, Decker makes his team. I mean, there are a lot of guys who are dinged up at the moment.
Yeah, I don't know if you could field the team without Decker.
I saw Phil Perry's, I heard him yesterday on NBC Sports Boston talking about their predictions for, you know, they, as the cuts go on, they make their predictions for the final roster. And as of right now, Eric Decker not on his roster.
Ooh.
Okay. As of right now, he said he hasn't done anything to earn a spot.
No, he hasn't. But again, Cordarrelle Patterson got hurt yesterday. I mean, Edelman apparently had a lower leg injury. He's going to miss the first four games. I mean, you got guys that are injured ahead of him on the depth chart. I mean, Decker, they're going to toss him out there. They're going to give him every opportunity to make this team, despite the signing bonus that we have Jeff Howe we're going to have on later today. We're saying it depends on the signing bonus as to what they really feel about him. Decker got less than $100,000 in guaranteed money, so this is basically a tryout for him. I think he's been elevated to more than that. They're going to keep throwing him passes until he really proves he just doesn't have it anymore, or he gets it one way or another.
Now, if you are going to the preseason game against the Philadelphia Eagles, a Super Bowl rematch, then you might be shaking your fist saying gripes, because apparently an Eagles fan who lives here in Massachusetts has purchased a billboard no more than a mile away from the stadium. And I got to be honest, I first saw it and I had no idea what the hell this was.
What is the thing in the middle?
It's supposed to be a... Okay, who was the guy who wore the Swami hat at the
Chris
Super
Berman.
Bowl parade? No. It was...
The lineman guy.
Yeah, who was the lineman who wore the Swami hat at the Super Bowl parade?
That wasn't Long, was it?
No, it wasn't Chris Long. Ah, damn it. I forget who it is. He was actually kind of... Johnson? No. I don't think
it doesn't matter.
It wasn't Lane
Johnson. Drunk.
Either way, he was drunk and he was yelling and he made that big speech. But in the middle of it is that outfit and the hat, and it's got what I'm assuming is a dog mask. I can't tell.
No, if that was a thing. No.
I understand the whole underdog dog mask thing, but from the front, you can't. It's such a horrible drawing. You can't tell that's what it is. It looks like a bird, kind of. And then to the left, it's got a player that it kind of looks like it's an Eagles uniform. And it says Go Birds World Champs in like tiny New Times Roman font. And then at the very top, it says the best damn Eagles group at, and then whatever the Twitter account is for the person who put this up. So, you know, they're going to get the what for.
They are.
And it says
we're going to get all pissed off at them.
It says World Champs. So this is, I guess, something that there was an article where they reached out to the billboard people and said, how could you let them do that? And they said, because they paid us.
Yeah. Jason Kelsey, apparently.
That's who it was. It was Kelsey.
Yeah. Why did you let him do this? Well, because I need to have people advertise.
Because I'm in business, you see, to fill this spot.
In order to make money,
that's
I need
the whole
this
idea, you see.
I'm sorry that it... upset you so much that the Eagles beat the Patriots.
You know, you can buy a billboard in Philadelphia if you really want to.
Sure.
It's not,
one
you know,
that's very...
I don't have your hands tied here to answer back.
Yeah, so if you're going to the game, you may or may not see that because it's one of those digital billboards which I believe is on the flip. So if you happen to be sitting there at the light every 10 seconds or whatever, every 10 seconds out of the minute, there you go. You might have it. So congratulations to those Eagles fans. They got us! Yeah!
Well, you joke, but I guarantee you it's pissing off a lot of people.
You know what? I should check her Twitter mentions. Whoever put that up. I want to go to that Twitter account and see what kind of...
I guarantee you that people are furious. Who do you think you are coming to our town with that billboard?
Like, who's really getting mad at that?
Thousands of people? I mean, if enough people saw it, tens of thousands of people? Getting very upset. Irrational fans?
This person has a very easy to remember Twitter handle, too. Like, I mean, it's like Gina Marie 01258.
Because the other Gina Maries were all taken.
Okay, here's some of the ones again. Congratulations, you won a Super Bowl. Just wait until you see how hard it is to defend week after week this year. Ugh. Patriots been doing it for 19 years. Dang. Come trash talk when you win the division 2 years in a row. Is there a spelling mistake on there? Somebody says there's a spelling mistake. I see Go Birds, World Champs. I don't think so. Actually, there's really not a ton of people angry at her. That's the only one I could find.
I mean, if it's a difficult Twitter account.
It is. Right. I can see people like going by, like
just
trying
getting
to get
an accident.
Screw it.
Ramming into one another, trying to get a look for
it. Somebody's got more info on the Eagles billboard. I need more info. Give me more. So we can give her the what for.
Dave, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
It turned out she works up in Massachusetts. She had a bet with a coworker after the Super Bowl that if a tweet got over 5,000 retweets, he would pay to put up a one-day billboard of Brandon Graham stripping Brady. Instead, I guess they couldn't do it for a day or something to that effect, so she raised money to get it up for a month. It's going to be down there, and she wanted it up before the team came up on Thursday.
Seems like a lot of work. Seems like a lot to do.
Yeah, I understand, but I mean, you know, you get a billboard now for a month right outside Gillette, 4133. You get, you know, obviously Eagles fans know Jason Kelce in his Mummer's Day Parade costume. You know, it's all in good fun. I mean, it's not too often you get a billboard in an enemy city, so to speak.
So hang on.
God
so
bless. It's better than getting a stupid tattoo.
There's a picture of a guy, I guess, who's supposed to be on the Eagles, sacking who's supposed to be Tom Brady, but the guy's wearing a number 33.
Like, yeah,
that's not right.
Like Tom Brady looks.
No, no.
Yeah, Deion Lewis looks a lot like Tom Brady in this picture.
No, I don't. I don't know if you can necessarily use the actual uniforms and things like
that's
that.
True.
You can't use a number. Like you can't use 12.
No, you can't use the likeness.
Guys, 41-33.
What's that?
41-33. The numbers. The Eagles guys wearing number 41. The Pats guy is 33.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really.
Well, that just flew right
by. That's another thing that's like confusing about this billboard. Like it's like really confusing.
I mean, it's pro
Eagles. Jokes on us.
It's pro Eagles. I don't think it has to be, you know, Picasso. And they put up a billboard.
And to be honest, like it looks more like the Carolina Panthers uniform than the Patriots one. There's like a light blue, like a powder blue type thing going on.
Well, suffice it to say, when you drive by, you realize that it's a Eagles.
She's
going to
get the what for. I'm gonna sick our listeners on her.
Advise people not to drive through there because it'll make everyone really angry. You don't want that.
You joke, and people are going to get pissed off.
Okay.
You don't think that Patriots fans are going to get pissed off?
No, I
oh, sure.
You and I are, all three of us are in agreement that there is a section of Patriots fans that are really special individuals, right?
Yes.
I mean, we understand that they defend that blue wall at all costs, man. You know, because
a lot
the
of
players
people,
know they have their back. So.
When the Patriots start to become a little bit more mediocre and the rest of the division catches up, whenever that may be, there's going to be a lot of people out of a lot of money.
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people out of a lot of money.
I'm tweeting it right now. Hey, this isn't very nice. You're a ne'er-do-well. You know how often you do well? Ne'er.
There it is. Perfect.
All right, Rich, what is coming up?
All right, we'll get to Jerry Jones and how, after being Captain America, when asked about What you? Why he kept his hat on during the national anthem?
We've gotten into the point of this is just so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, and then we of course have great Celtics news.
All right, with donks. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on? I understand that there is an issue with players taking a knee during the national anthem.
Well, especially if you are a member of the Dallas Cowboys. So Jerry Jones said last month that his team will be required to stand for the anthem, even after the NFL and the Players Association entered into discussions and basically suspended whatever policy was out there. However, Jerry Jones said our policy is that you stand for the anthem and you, toe on the line. Now,
or what?
Or he just says that's what that's their policy, and he didn't say what they were going to do. Because
so if I'm Dak Prescott and who has come out against that,
no. Dak Prescott has actually said
okay,
the opposite. No. He kind of said something fairly ballsy, I guess, for him, and went, I think that it isn't the right place to protest. So I mean,
my bad. Yeah. All right. So say I'm Ezekiel Elliott, and I decide to take a knee. What are you going to do?
Well, then Jerry Jones will go, you, sir, are a good player that wins this game, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, right. No, that's...
and if it was anybody else that wasn't one of the starters, you, sir, are suspended
this
for a
policy
game.
Is carved in stone until someone who matters disputes it.
Without a doubt. And who is the guy who is the journalist down there? He's been a TV personality in Dallas forever, and he's always got these little rants that he does. And he did one the other day, and it went viral because he was talking about how Jerry Jones is this guy who preaches about, hey, we got to do this and stand up for the anthem, or you're going to get in trouble. And he's been really one of the main, most outspoken people on this. And even to the point where you remember that guy was supposed to do an interview with him during the preseason, and his handler came over with Jerry Jones and said, hey, here's the deal. You can't ask any questions about the anthem because he knows the backlash he's getting from this. And remember there's that video of the interview going, I'm sorry, I'm not going to interview you then. And he said, for the first time in 15 years that I've been doing this at Cowboys camp, I'm not interviewing Jerry Jones because he asked me to not ask him any questions about the national anthem and their policy on it. So that video is Jerry Jones like going like this, like shrugging his shoulders and walking away after they said, nope, sorry, don't want to talk to you.
You know how much that must have crushed him too? Like, in all honesty?
Oh, without a doubt. He's such a narcissist, without a doubt.
He can't be on TV.
So this guy who is, his name escapes me, but he's this journalist down there who his video went viral. And the whole point was, so here's somebody saying that he respects the anthem so much that his players, he believes, should be suspended if they don't stand. However, here's video of him while the national anthem is playing, keeping his hat on. And if you look, the person to his left is telling him to take his hat off, and Jerry Jones refuses to do so. So at the press conference yesterday, one of the press conferences, a reporter asked Jerry Jones, do you have the clip over there by any chance? Mike, do you have it? That's right, because there's really not much to it anyway, because it's a one-word answer. Somebody said, Jerry, would you like to discuss about how you kept your hat on during the national anthem despite your opinion that your players should stand? And he said, no, I would not. And that was it. Refused to answer any questions about that.
Well, why would he? It's fake news.
Yeah, of course, it is. All of this fake news.
It's all fake.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, Dale Hansen, that's the guy. Dale Hansen's videos are excellent, and he did that one about that, which went viral, and he's absolutely right. So, on the other hand, something that is not fake news is the video that came out yesterday of Gordon Hayward dunking on a guy. That's right. We finally got to see Gordon Hayward get some air and actually go one-on-one with somebody. Now, we have yet to see five-on-five, which, as we all know, is a completely different ballgame. But from everything that we're hearing, he is on track to start and, of course, be on the court during game one, which they play against the 76ers. Now, the one thing that is interesting about all this is that I've been reading all these new articles previewing the upcoming season, and Sports Illustrated said there is a chance that the Boston Celtics may have five All-Stars on their team. That seems a little bit of a reach.
Yeah.
However, if you look at the East, I mean, at how devoid of talent that it is, that certainly is a possibility. I mean, who knows whether or not Gordon Hayward is going to get back up to where he was as quick as he could be. But, I mean, he was an all-star before he showed up. Kyrie Irving, we obviously know, is somebody who could be an all-star. People just love Al Horford. So, I mean, you know, maybe he gets in there as well. I got to think Tatum, if he continues to play at the level that he did, is probably going to get some votes. And I guess the only question is whether or not Jaylen Brown would be an all-star. I think that's somewhat of a reach.
Okay.
I mean,
only be seven other players?
I know. I'm just going
Fred,
over it in
weird.
My head.
But think about Kyle Lowry,
Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid. I mean, there are other players in this conference.
Yeah. The kid from Milwaukee.
Yeah, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Chris
Middleton is like an Al Horford, like borderline all-star. I mean, there are other guys. Yeah. Five all-stars is nice. It's certainly okay to get excited about this team.
I thought it was like an interesting point, but I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
But that being said, as a Celtics fan, it kind of made you...
John Wall, Bradley Beal.
Yeah, no, they're good players in this conference.
Yeah, but Wall and Beal can... Who knows what they're going to
Wall
be.
Wall and Beal are all-stars. They are.
I love John Wall.
Jaylen Brown as being an all-star.
Well, I agree with that. No, without a doubt,
I think if you say the Celtics should get three, then yeah, okay.
Well, the Celtics will get three.
Well,
I mean, I don't think there's a question. They're going to get three.
Celtics will get three. I'm not prepared to go any further than that.
Now, this is kind of interesting. Chris Mannix was on NBC Sports Boston, and he was being asked about LeBron James's new Lakers, and he had a fairly hot take, because he's not really a hot take guy, but an interesting opinion.
Kawhi gets traded to the Lakers, and now it's LeBron and Kawhi. Does that even things out there?
I think the Lakers missed the playoffs, number one. I don't think... They missed the playoffs.
No, they don't.
Absolutely.
No, they don't.
Look, I shaved my head on one bet. I'll do another one. How do you think they make the playoffs? Like, that's a team...
It's LeBron.
Okay, great. It's LeBron, Lance Stephenson, Rondo. Like, it's the Island of Misfit Toys out there, and LeBron James. Mike... They're going to be around 500 in December. That's what I think, because they're not going to start fast. They're not built to start fast. And if you're 500 in December and you have to assume it's 48 wins to get into the playoffs in the Western Conference, I don't see that team making up that ground. You add Kawhi Leonard to the mix, interesting playoff team, still not a championship team, but as currently constituted, not a playoff team in LA.
What's Felger doing on the air?
What's that?
Why does he still go there at night?
I think he does the Sunday show still. I think that might have been for the Sunday show. He does the Sunday night show, I believe.
Why would you want to do?
And I think he also is going to do the post game of the Patriots.
Fair enough, but I don't know why do you waste your Sunday night?
They're down a man. Giardi, the matinee idol, has left the station, so maybe they were short of.
You love saying matinee idol. You watch that CBS Sports Boston or NBC Sports Boston. You got your pants down.
Oh yeah. A lot of handsome guys. Yeah.
Phil Perry, Mike Giardi.
I'm just jealous. That's what it comes down
to. Phil Perry is a honk.
He is.
That's true.
But I don't know if I go so far as saying Giardi's a honk.
Giardi's a honk. I think they're both
a honk.
A honk? Mm-hmm. They're both honks.
No, Phil Perry is a classically handsome man.
Yes, he is.
Mike Giardi you could refer to as a cutie pie.
is that what he would be?
I'd say north of that. I'd say Giardi's
no, he's a little guy.
Giardi's a little guy.
Giardi's certainly a little guy.
He is.
He's very small.
Do you guys think people are small that I just don't recognize?
Giardi is 5'8". He's not large.
Yeah, he's small.
All right. I just never looked at him and thought he was small. I never thought he was tall.
Okay.
John and I are telling you he's small.
He's not a tall man.
Okay.
He's just not.
But there's some hunks that are that size. You don't have to be a certain size to be a hunk.
I like what this is evolving
into. Tom Cruise is a hunk. You know?
Yeah, but Tom Cruise.
I think Stallone's a little guy. Back in the day, he was a hunk.
They're also, you know, somewhat muscular.
I mean, Tom Cruise is a beautiful man.
I would put Mike, as much as I like him, in the jacked category.
No, I mean,
you don't have to be jacked to be a hunk.
Oh, here we go.
Now, is that the difference?
Maybe we just like different types of men.
Is that the difference between a cutie pie and a hunk is muscles? Is that it?
No, I'll take that if that's the dividing line. Okay. Phil Perry is no muscle man.
Right. Dudley Moore, that was a honk.
No. Now you're being silly. Now you're taking the argument and you're turning it on its head.
No, Dudley Moore was not a honk.
No, Phil Perry is a honk.
He is. I saw him at the golf tournament a couple Mondays ago. I can confirm, definitely a honk.
Is this a Twitter poll? Is Mike Giardi a honk?
Go ahead. I bet you a lot. You'd get a good split there, I think.
Giardi's not a honk.
Giardi's a honk.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not overtly handsome.
Okay.
Oh, I disagree with you.
Show of hands in the other room.
You think he's overtly handsome?
He's a very handsome. Show of hands in the other room. Yes. We got four people in there. Is Mike Giardi a hunk? We got one thumbs up.
We got Mike saying.
Is Mike Giardi not a hunk?
No, thumbs down.
Yeah,
couple of thumbs down. What does Lockhart think?
Lockhart says not a hunk.
Not a hunk. Okay.
Who was it that that Haggerty wouldn't admit was good looking?
Oh, it was Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
he's like the quintessential hunk.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's like when you look up a hunk.
That's all wrong.
He's a hunk. He's
Haggerty's
like
all
hunk.
Wrong about that.
Why would he not? Why would he not even?
Because
he was
like, he's like, I don't know.
Some old man. Is that what it was? It was like, yeah, I'm all man. I don't look at other guys that way.
Yeah.
All right. All right, guy.
It was like he didn't notice. Like he couldn't tell if someone was good looking.
This is the dude that would have like latched onto the face of Tyler Sagan like the thing from Aliens.
That's true.
And impregnated him the same way. Haggerty would have like gone into Tyler Sagan's mouth and come out his stomach just like the movie Aliens if he could. He would have just crawled into his mouth and gone.
I remember.
See, Tyler Sagan is a cutie pie.
He's a hunk.
I don't think Sagan's a hunk.
No. I'm leaning more Fred's direction on this one.
I think that John and I have a very similar taste in men.
So it says it's time for Five Call Says It All. All right. Giardi a hunk.
All right. We'll go to break. Five Call Says It All. 617-779-0985. Is Giardi a honk or is he a cutie pie?
Is that the poll? Is he a hunk or a cutie pie?
Yes. I think we male, do male and female callers. It doesn't matter. One call, five call says it all. 617-779-0985.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
98.5, the sports hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Very important question on the table. Everyone agrees here that Phil Perry is a honk.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. He's sure. He might be the head honk over at NBC Sports Boston.
I can't think of anyone else who's even in that category, but Rich seems to believe that Mike Giardi is a honk.
Yeah, I thought you could put him in that category as well, and you said he is not a honk. He's what?
A cutie pie.
Okay, so we put out a Twitter poll as well, but first we said five calls says it all, and that would determine whether or not he's indeed a honk
so
or a cutie pie.
So it's 5-2 in the station about if he's that he's not a hunk.
Right, Nick and I say he's hunk qualified to be a hunk, and then the other one say he's. Well, I don't know if the other one say he's a cutie pie. They just say he's not a hunk.
Well, there's only two categories. I mean, he's a little cutie pie.
Okay, what would we be considered?
Ugly,
yeah.
Because you can say there's only two categories.
I'm thinking, no, handsome people.
Oh, yeah. for handsome people. Right. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Eric, go ahead.
Hey, do you guys realize that in that last break you covered both? Donks and honks.
I can see why. Okay, but so I, five calls says it all. You're caller one.
Giardi, not borderline, but not a honk.
I got to agree.
Yeah. Right. Well, how do we determine that then? He says he's borderline. Like, what's the requirement?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, my friend. Us.
It's not something that you can...
It's not about beauty. They're both beautiful. Like, both those things are beautiful. It's like being a hunk or not.
No, you can't. It's not something that you can put into words. You just know. Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, Giardi, not a hunk. And I'd say he's number four behind Phil Perry, Bert Breer, and Michael Felder at that station.
Ooh, that is a Bert hunk Breer. Hot take. Sorry.
I don't think Bert Breer's that handsome.
Interesting.
So that means
you're up. I don't know what else I can do.
I'm not.
All right, where is yours?
Giardi, not a hunk.
Not a hunk. That determines it then.
Okay, now are you up?
What's that? Yeah. Yeah, there it is. Not okay. So that's 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Trainwreck Scott loves to call in. Hello, Giardi. Is he a honk?
No, he's good looking, normal. No, he's not. Well, I don't think he's a honk.
Yeah,
I think he's good looking, normal. But the guy previously that you picking up my phone call about. His sequential order of who's a hunk down there is pretty accurate. But, you know, you can throw Felger in the mix.
So Felger's more of a hunk than... Phil Perry's the number one hunk, though,
I think that Felger is more distinguished now. He's gotten to an age where it's... he's become gray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't...
He's like Papa Hunk.
Like, my wife doesn't find Felger attractive.
Okay. But she used to. Didn't you say she used to?
I mean, I think she thought he was okay, but now okay. She thinks he's very old.
Oh, okay.
All right, Andy, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Giardi's the kind of guy that you'd let eat ice cream out of your hands. And Phil Perry's definitely the kind of guy that you'd allow him to wheel you out to the curb for 30 minutes and bag of trash and then wheel you right back in.
I can't tell you what part of that meant.
I think we've done a story before about wheeling someone out as a bag of trash.
Yes, that was a fetish thing. We had a woman who was paid to do that. There was a guy who paid a woman to wheel him out to the edge and treat him like garbage and then wheel him back in. That was a fetish thing.
I remember the ice cream, a handful of ice cream thing. All right, listen, the five calls said it all, but let's just make it official by looking at Twitter. Twitter. The TNR Twitter poll was Mike Giardi is A, either hunk or cutie pie, with 66% of the vote. Mike Giardi is officially a cutie pie. So I'm wrong.
Very masculine
show.
Although we
have somebody right here who's going to distinguish what is the difference between a hunk and a cutie pie. I still don't know.
I just think it's something that can't be quantified. But Rich, go ahead.
No. See, a hunk has to have an element of danger to him.
That makes sense. Okay. You know what? Somebody put this on Twitter, and this might be to your point. Someone saying that, like, David Silver on 90210 was like a cutie pie, yet
yes.
Dylan was
Dylan
a hunk.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Fonzie? Wait, Phil Perry has an element of danger to him?
No, I think that it's when it comes to that, it's classically good looks.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, but David Silver was like a boyish kind of a guy. And then Dylan was a honk. Brandon was a honk. Mm-hmm.
They tried to make David, with the drug problem, they tried to add the element of danger, but I wasn't buying it.
No, okay. No one was really buying it.
So that he was like a faux honk. Not really a true honk.
No, he didn't even enter in that tech category. I never even considered him there. You know what I mean? They just created the storyline to give him an added dimension that really wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wasn't good.
That's how they had to keep him around. Plus, he stayed with Donna, who looked like she'd been in a panini machine. Face was flat. Her body was flat. Everything was flat about her.
Except for the breasts, which were large.
No, not until way late.
No, later on, yeah, but I mean, no, they waited flat.
They waited until after college to do that.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, she was still playing Screech's girlfriend on Saved by the Bell.
Yep.
Right before that,
that's true.
So we'll continue with our talks of honks and cutie pies. No commercials here, just the headlines, and we will get to armpits of America.